Coming up, we got another great PWO wrestling podcast coming up for you. I'm joined alongside the usual. I got the Chandy Man, Chandler London, and LB, my boy, Luke Baker. And we sit down and talk about that terrific Crown Jewel pay-per-view. Didn't start out too hot. First couple matches were kind of boring. But overall, I think we all can say it was a pretty good show. Also, this was recorded the same night that Friday Night SmackDown was going on. So we did not, we talked about the Usos breaking the record for the longest tag team title reign in WWE history. We talked about it a little bit. As I said, anything that happened at the end of SmackDown, we were recording during it. So we talk about everything Crown Jewel. We talk about what we want to see with future feuds. But yeah, we got a great show planned ahead, so stick around. Also, if you have any interest in watching free WWE pay-per-views, just send us a DM, and we will invite you to the Discord. We usually have watch parties every single pay-per-view. It's been good so far. We've had a good crop come in. And yeah, join the community. Join the community. Hit me up. Also, make sure you follow us at PSO Sports 1 on Twitter and Instagram, and Pointless Sports Opinions on everything else. All right. Blean, send us on the way.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You don't have to say it.
Hey, you do a good
That's
job
just my
docks.
My intake on it.
I like. Hey, you do a good job on the docs. I'm a fan of them. That's why I make you do them. Cause I suck ass at them. Okay, you ready?
Hey yo.
Hey
what
yo.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Pointless Wrestling Opinions (PWO). We are also affiliated with PSO. But I don't give a shit about PSO right now because we're going to be talking wrestling. I got my boys here with me. I got Chandler. I got the Beast Chandler. London, how the hell are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Just freaking tired. But I was excited to stay up for this, though. So I'm doing
what
all right.
What nickname do you want for the pod? Do you want the Beast? Because I know that was your WWE 2K name. But
oh, what are you? Oh, I forgot about that. No, I don't know.
The Beast.
That was funny. I'm glad you were there for that.
That was hilarious. People won't get it, but it doesn't matter. We can go with the Chandy Man. Chandy Man's good.
Whatever works.
And then we got my boy LB 1515. That's his nickname. My boy Luke Baker. Luke.
Because we live on the Baker Channel, motherfucker.
That's right. We're always plugging that motherfucker. Make sure you check us out. BAK3R. I say us because I'm in there 95% of the time.
That's right.
Come check out, you know. Luke plays a bunch of games. Luke's a good streamer.
And we streamed the pay-per-views on Discord.
We did. We did. And it went fucking perfectly. We only had one wiener pick. One wiener pick in the Discord. All the rest of the people were pretty good. The wiener pick was very subpar, so.
You're the only one that saw it, so.
I am. I deleted that shit quick. I'm number one mod. But we're not here to talk about penises. We're here to talk about Crown Jewels. But Crown Jewel, the WWE pay-per-view that just happened last week. We're actually doing it the same week that the event happened, which is a change of pace. Usually we wait like 3 weeks before we can run out of pod. But then I remembered Thursday night, hey, we gotta do a pod on this before I lose all memory like what happened last time. But yeah, let's roll right into it. Let's get cracking. Let's get popping. Surprisingly, Crown Jewel starts out with Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley in the opening match. It was a very, very lackluster match, in my opinion. You had a lot of fighting going on before the match. I was going to get a rum and coke. I'm glad I did, because by the time I made my rum and coke, this match was over. I actually had to go back and watch it. Shit, I had to go back and watch some of these matches, because I was pretty hammered for the Discord stream.
Bubble clock for you. 1 o'clock, I think.
Jesus, thank God we don't have to do that again for a while. But, yeah. What'd you guys think about the Lesnar-Brock Lesnar match? The fucking Lashley-Lesnar match?
I think this is the second time or third time Lesnar's opened up pay-per-view. I know he did it at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I think it's just because, like...
he wants to get the match done.
Yeah, and it makes sense that this was the first match, because it was, if this was the second, you know, second to the last, everybody would have been pissed because this match sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this had to have been the opener, I feel like, the way they went with it.
And, like, this is coming off, last time we saw Lesnar, an incredible last man standing match against Roman Reigns.
SummerSlam.
This was a kind of hyped up match. People were excited to see these two former great collegiate wrestlers, former great MMA fighters. Bobby Lashley has an incredible MMA record. He fought at Bellator for a long time. I thought he was pretty damn good. He could have, you know, eventually been a heavyweight contender, but he decided to keep wrestling at TNA instead. But this match just kind of seemed like it was thrown together last minute. What do you guys think?
Oh, very much. It was just like two big guys just going at it.
But, like, not in a good way. Like, Triple H and Batista are two big guys, and their WrestleMania performance when they're both 55 years old was better than this shit. Chandler, what do you think?
I thought it was I didn't really care for it, but I like that it made Lashley look strong, and it was kind of a change of pace, like, how every Brock Lesnar rivalry and match goes, like, because at the end he had to, like, just kind of, like, do something controversial to win. And, like, just kind of sneak out the back door because he was in trouble. And they wanted to make Lashley look like he was in control. So they did that. And I guarantee they're going to have a rubber match to finally write off this feud. I think that one will be good. But, like, yeah, this was just – I was upset just because it was so fast. It was, like, four spears, German suplexes, and F5, and then it was just done.
The barricade spot, too.
I know, yeah.
What did you say when that happened, Luke? Lesnar loves the barricade spot.
He does. He really does. That's like his thing now.
There's only three things he can do.
He is usually going through the barricade.
Yep. SummerSlam, he went through it.
Yeah.
Match, I forgot to say, it ended weird. Yeah, Lashley rolled over on top of Lesnar. But Lesnar landed on top of him. The ref counted to three.
He kicked off the turnbuckle and like landed on Lashley, and somehow his shoulders are on the ground from the hurt lock, and then...
Yeah,
I guess
he counted the pin.
The whole point, controversial ending. Lesnar, you know, got the win. Definitely, I hope it sets up a rematch because. But then again, I don't want to see another one of these matches.
No.
I think we've proven. You know, everybody said Lesnar. You know, for the last couple of years, we've seen Lesnar not work very well in the ring. You know, he doesn't do very well. And then all of a sudden, we saw that little glimmer of, hey, Lesnar can still put on a good show whenever he fought Roman at the last pay-per-view that he fought at. And it's like, I you can't tease me with that and then go back to Lesnar versus Goldberg type shit. I don't want to see that because I know Lashley can put on a good show. Lashley always does. He's a good storyteller in the ring. You know, powerhouse.
I think if they have like a third match, I think that will be like the best one. Because Rumble was like, you know, you had Roman interfere, give freaking Lashley the belt. And then this one was just to make Lashley look strong, but it was still so short. I don't know. If they have a third one, I think that'll be a good one. I think they'll at least be longer. I don't know, though. But
I don't know if they will, because Monday they had Lashley go out to fight Rollins for the IC title.
Yeah. I don't know if they're planning on having a third one. I feel like they should after how the last one ended. I feel like storyline wise, Brock would want another match with how he won last time.
Yeah. But
do we want a third one? Is the real question. Do you guys want a third one? I don't want a third one.
No, it's kind of boring.
I feel like this was the time that they should have just given us a flat out solid match with how they like, because the weeks leading up to it were badass. Like it was, they booked it right. It just didn't pay off good.
This was like a 1 out of 5 star match, like literally bottom of the barrel. I fucking hated it. Like I hated it. And this is why people hated Lesnar for however many years he was champ, because he was putting on matches similar to this.
Oh yeah, you'd wait like months, like twice a year to see him just go out there and do
five
this.
Minutes.
And it's just like people are buying this on, well, not on pay per view, but you're paying to see this still, regardless on the network, you know.
Yeah. Vince would have made this a main event if he was still in charge.
Oh yeah, he would have put this above Paul and Roman somehow.
Easily. Okay, yeah, I didn't like it. I wasn't a fan. I also didn't really watch it whenever we were watching on Discord.
Yeah, it was quick. It was
watch it again, though. Next match, we had Asuka and Alexa Bliss versus the Damage Control. I can never say her name.
Io
Sky? Look at that. Yep. I got it. And my girl Dakota Kai. Not much to say in this match. The Bliss and Asuka win the belts off Damage Control. Kind of an interesting booking decision. And then Nikki Cross came back. She came back, attacked Alexa Bliss. She also came on Monday Night Raw and retired the 24/7 belt by trying to throw it in the trash can and completely missed.
I'm glad a lot of people were talking about that, because I was like, she totally missed the trash can.
Yeah, everybody was saying she threw it in the trash floor. Can. No,
what
she
the
missed.
Fuck is that? That's the perfect way to end that shitty idea, that shitty concept of the title belt. That title belt was never entertaining at all. R-Truth was a 57-time champion.
He was good.
He won it 57 times, but he was
entertaining with it.
He should have been the final guy.
Give it to R-Truth.
Yeah, like, because
he's
like,
injured right now. So.
Yeah, like a Zack Ryder type thing where it's like the internet champion. Like R-Truth is just the 24/7 champion, and nobody ever fights
it at all time.
Nobody ever fights for it, you know. Like
you can't. You gotta have somebody fight for it.
Give it to him while he's sitting in his wheelchair, whatever the fuck.
Hell,
I don't know what surgery.
Let me think. They had a match at a wedding. They had a play place.
Just everywhere,
golf all
course.
Over. Yeah, golf course.
We got a lot of title changes too. A lot of different people
I think
won the belt.
Like 100 something different title changes.
Probably
in
something
was
like that.
57.
They really tried to. It was like the hardcore belt, except not entertaining, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like the worst case scenario for the hardcore title would have been.
Hey, they tried. They tried.
What do you guys think about Asuka and Alexa Bliss, new champs?
No, they lost
control.
It.
Well, no damage.
Oh,
yeah, damage control.
Yeah,
because Nikki Cross interfered. I don't even know what's going on with that. Like, she's just, I don't know, was it, like,
she's
just done to
joining
bring
them
her in?
For Survivor Series.
Yeah, just bringing it, all this for War Games. But I literally don't. They've tried. Like, they've even put it on, like, big names and stuff. Like, well, big names in that division. And it's just, like, it's just not doing it for me. I don't think for anybody. Like, the women's tag titles are just, I don't care who has them. I don't care who they're on.
Team division for the women's kind of sucks.
Yeah. They just don't have enough competitors, dude. It's because all the teams you don't give a shit about. They're all lackluster, thrown together last minute. They don't have the amount of women to form legitimate teams, long-lasting teams.
Yeah. I think Shnuka and Natalia. Like, who wants to see that?
Yeah.
Whatever her name is.
What the fuck? Yeah.
The only tag team they had were the Iconics. That's all they had.
Yeah.
Ever.
God, I forgot about them.
The only women's tag team they legitimately ever have had.
Yeah,
we knew as soon as they won the tag belts that they had to give it back to Damage Control, since Bayley's, you know, She's looking like a top heel right now. You know, she's going to be she's going to be contending for the title for quite a while.
She's looking like your girl Charlotte, not like title wise, but heel wise.
Like an actual heel that people don't like aren't tired of. Like Charlotte, people are tired of. People are tired of seeing her win all the time. That's like a Triple H type heel. You don't want to be that type of heel. You want to be like a Miz type of heel. And I think Bayley's hitting that spot. You knew that they had to give the titles back to Damage Control, but I think Nikki Cross coming in and like interfering, I think it makes the Damage Control not look that good. It makes, you know, it sets up that weird feud that they got going with Bliss. And is Nikki Cross going to take like the whatever the Sister Abigail thing? I don't know what the fuck they're
going to
do.
I think she's just going back to her like kind of an insane gimmick. I don't know because the superhero crap was.
Oh God.
Yeah, they dropped that, why would she interfere? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I know, like, Bayley said she, like, hired her to, like, help them and stuff. But that was before, like, the War Games thing was even set up. So I don't know.
Very true.
I have no idea. The match itself was just, like, I mean, like, you knew what it was going to be.
Why would you have Alexa and Asuka win the titles the Monday
before?
That's
what I'm saying.
Hold them for a week and then lose them again.
They're just tossing it around, like just hot potato in the titles. That's all they've ever done with these belts.
Yep. I think maybe to add a couple more reigns for Dakota and them, like add the, like, hey, we're two-time, you know, women's tag team champ. I don't know. That's just off the top of my head.
I don't know.
One of the best things in WWE history is the random teams that are thrown together that win the tag belts. I think, you know, Booker T and RVD were one of my favorite tag teams. They're just randomly thrown together.
You like the B-team, didn't you?
The B-team. Awesome concepts. I'm like, these are great. I like when the random characters come together. But then you get, like, also times where it doesn't work. Like Big Show and Rey Mysterio fucking in, like, 2011. Weird. We don't like that. Jericho and Big Show. Great. People like that. But
wasn't
like
the Miz and Big Show?
Miz and Big Show. 50-50. You know?
Yeah.
Like some don't
Or,
hit,
like,
and
you
I think,
got, like, I don't know.
Asuka and Alexa just did not
work
for me.
That's another thing, too, is it's just like, because you got to start somewhere, and I get the whole random pairings and stuff, but they don't – the men, they keep around a long time, but, like, the women, when they randomly pair them off in a tag team, they don't keep it. Like, think about since the tag team titles have come back, how many partners has, like, Asuka and Natalya had? They've gone through so many partners each. They don't keep them. They don't keep them,
like,
as a team.
Think about also, like, RVD and Kane. That was a big one. How did that end? And a great rivalry between the two of them. You know, there's
mask
like,
off, right?
Yeah, the mask off. There's great ending. Booker T and Goldust. Like, Booker T got sent to SmackDown and becomes a monster heel, and then eventually, a couple years later, becomes King Booker and everything. And, you know, like, there's ways that you can get around. Like, they just kind of, like, separate them. And then it's like, okay.
Yeah, they
like
they'll just have one turn on the other, and they just teamed up 2 months ago. Or, like, look at Riddle and Orton. They started off at a Monday Night Raw match feud. I think Riddle won that somehow. And then the next thing you know, they're slowly becoming a team, and they end up being a team for, like, almost, not quite, but almost a year.
Yeah. If you book it right, it's great.
It's like, but, like, the women, they just disband them right after they make them, like, a team 2 months prior. And it's just like, how are you going to grow teams to make people, like, care about these titles? There's nobody.
I agree. They need Naomi and Sasha back. I hate to say it.
I think they're going to come back at Survivor Series to be Bianca's, like, final teammates.
Oh. I don't know. I don't think they should be faces. I think they should play the heel angle. We took our ball and went home.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with them whenever they come back.
I don't know. I'm tired of talking
about
this. Right. If they do,
All I know is Asuka and Alexa Bliss, congratulations. You guys have joined the reigns of shitty tag team champions that people are going to forget about, similar to like Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
And they held the belt. Remember that? I told you, Luke. They held it for one fucking day. One day.
That's funny.
Stupid. It's like, I don't understand the point of even giving the belt, but okay. We're done with this. On to another snoozer of a match. This pay-per-view kind of started off a little slow.
It was.
Karrion Kross versus Drew McIntyre in a cage match. A lot of high hopes for
the Karrion Kross. I was thinking it was going to be good.
Yeah, I thought, hey, this is – because strap match, we even said, they're kind of set up for failure, right? It's like that's – there's only so many spots you can do. You know, you whip the dude four or five times, and it's like, all right, I'm tired of the whipping, you know? But the cage match, there's a lot of interesting spots you can do, but it really was not – up to par for me, in my opinion. What'd you guys think about? Oh, by the way, McIntyre escaped the cage in a photo finish where Cross was trying to get out the door. One of the most typical endings to any any cage match I've fucking seen.
Very true.
It's always so close. He's barely got it, or
it's a photo finish.
Or they throw the cage door at their head. And it's like, God damn it! How many times am I gonna see this shit?
Yeah,
McIntyre wins. What do you guys think about Karrion Kross, Drew McIntyre, and what do you guys think about the rivalry as a whole?
Chandler, you can go.
I love both of them individually because I watch Kross a lot in NXT, and then just McIntyre I've always liked, like even way back then. But anyways, I hate the rivalry. I'm so done with it. I just don't. I was over it just because, like, I don't think it. I mean, like, it did him some favors because Kross has already got a win over McIntyre. But, well, like, he was in the midst of, like, getting ready for, what, Clash of the Castle against Roman. Then they just have Kross come back one night on SmackDown and attack Drew. I'm like, why is he interjected into the middle of these guys right now? Why did it have to be McIntyre? Have him start smaller on someone else. It was just so weird to me. I'm like, you want to make a big splash with them, but have them do something else. Like, it was just so odd. As soon as that happened, I was just not. I wanted to see it because I wanted to see how they'd interact with each other. But after the strap match, even before this, I'm like, I'm done with this rivalry. I think they're both great, but I just don't think this is, like, doing much for either guy.
I agree.
I didn't really care for it.
I think this rivalry's been dead since the strap match. Right, even before it, honestly.
Romo's leading up to strap matches.
I think they're, I think those, and like whenever they beat the crap out of each other every week on SmackDown's fine and everything, but the matches aren't paying off good, I don't think.
No, not at all.
Sometimes, like, you know, I really think Karrion Kross and McIntyre are both, I mean, McIntyre, we know, he's a main event guy. Like, I think he's just kind of set in stone for that. No matter what, you throw Drew McIntyre in the title picture, he's gonna, you know, he's gonna put on the show. Yeah, he's gonna draw. I mean, he kind of, this definitely not in style wise, but he's kind of like an RVD. Like, no matter what, if you throw RVD into the title picture, it's gonna be interesting and people are gonna give a shit. That's kind of like McIntyre. Kross, I think, can eventually get to that point, but like sometimes I just feel like they just don't have that chemistry in the ring to put on a good match, you know?
Like I do think the chemistry between them is like lacking.
What's worse, this or Lashley versus Lesnar?
I'd say this.
Oh yeah, this for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I mean the match aside, the build up alone, I think, has been with Lashley Lesnar has been better than this.
Yeah, you got a good point.
How good was Kross in NXT though, Chandler?
Well, I mean, even with Scarlett by his side, he was like a force to be reckoned with, like a badass. And like just how they are with him right now, just like it's just they're kind of just I feel like just kind of making him look like a bitch.
I feel like maybe it's the wrong time for him.
Yeah, I think like he should have started small. Like McIntyre, I felt like was too not like a larger than life person, but they should have had him start lower.
Yeah.
Like him just interrupting him, McIntyre and Roman in the main event segment of SmackDown was just, I don't think it was it. They should not have put Kross there.
He's kind of giving me like Damian Priest vibes right now, where it's kind
of beginning.
Yeah, it's like because he would have fought for the U.S. belt and won the U.S. belt, we all have been fine with it. But since he's fighting McIntyre in this big, high up rivalry, it's kind of like, you're underperforming, you know?
Yeah, like he's a Triple H guy. He was awesome in NXT. That's why I like watching everything he's in. I just felt like this wasn't the best starting point for him to be back. I didn't like him going after. As soon as McIntyre got hurt, it kind of annoyed me because I was like, you can't be doing this to McIntyre before like weeks before his biggest match of his career.
Yeah.
At Clash in the Castle against Roman. I was like, why is Kross here? Why'd they put him here? Have him start against someone lower on the card.
Yeah.
And just have him, like, look at what they did with Gunther. That's, like, my favorite example, like, how they're doing him right now before, like, everything. They're doing so good with him, building him up slowly.
Maybe they should put those two together.
Something, I don't know. Or, like, have Kross be, like, an anti-hero. That's what he kind of seemed like in NXT. He wasn't a full-blown face, but he was, like, just pretty much anybody that got in his way.
You could have thrown him into, like, a rivalry with, like, a veteran guy, too. I mean, McIntyre's a veteran, but, like, I'm talking, like, an AJ Styles or some shit.
Right, or something, like,
Edge?
Someone who could...
Edge?
Something,
I mean,
that would be cool.
I don't know.
I think those two together would be cool.
Something to bring him out more, because he's just kind of boring right now.
Yeah, right now he just seems like a typical, like, bad guy. Like, you need something to... And it doesn't help you have like Roman and Bray Wyatt, all this stuff, Braun, all this stuff going on SmackDown right now. Maybe move him to Raw or something.
Yeah.
You could have thrown him together with McIntyre. You could have been like, hey, this is... Do like a Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit thing where they like become... There's some tag team turmoil bullshit and they fucking become tag team partners. I think that would have been a good team together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when they fight each other, it looks like shit. But maybe if they find somebody else, it doesn't look that bad.
Right.
Just throwing out ideas. Okay, what do we think is the ceiling for Karrion Kross right now? Because things are looking a little dim. Are you buying or selling Karrion Kross stock right now?
I'm still buying into it, I think. I just want to see where because I like him, like I've said. I just want this rivalry to be over and see where both of them go. Because, after that, maybe they just... I don't know what they're going to do with them afterwards, but he's not going to be the one to take the belts from Roman. And if he does, they better build him up very good.
I hope not.
I want him to be a champion after they split the belts, but I don't want him to be the one to dethrone Roman.
Ceiling for me is IC or US title.
Yeah.
I could see him right being, now. As of right now, how they're booking him and stuff, I could just see him being, in mid-card right now, upper
mid-card.
He's
been boring to me.
Yeah. I think right now he's really close. And if he does this wrong, think about this. If he has this rivalry, Drew, we're assuming it's probably going to – it's going to have one more match, right? You got to have the third. They Maybe. Split, right? They're 1-1.
I think so.
You know they're going to come out and spit some promos about that shit. Closer to, was it Survivor Series?
We'll probably figure out on
Survivor
SmackDown
Series
tonight.
Next.
Yeah. And SmackDown's going on right now, so if we miss some stuff, don't yell at us. But I think he's really close. I think he's one rivalry away. Say he has another rivalry with somebody after McIntyre and it doesn't hit, he might be close to being a flash in the pan kind of guy. Where it's hey, how many times, another good reference, Drew McIntyre's first run. Remember how booked to the moon he was, the IC belt, and people didn't give a flying fuck about him? You know, he's good, but it just wasn't there, you know? And that's kind of how I feel about Karrion Kross.
Mm-hmm.
He already did the run, though, where he got cut, you know? He did his indie-type run.
Yeah.
They liked what he saw. He came back, but he ain't getting that McIntyre push.
I don't know. Maybe throw him against an NXT guy next or something. Call Ricochet up. Have him have a rivalry with Ricochet. Some NXT rivalry or some shit. Get him more comfortable with somebody he's fought all the time. I don't know. Next match, we had the OC versus Judgment Day. I enjoyed it. I love the OC. Judgment Day has also been surprisingly, I kind of like them as a group.
I do too. They're really good.
I like Rhea. Rhea's a great asset to that team. I mean, obviously, Finn's going to – he's a good worker, so he's going to put on a good show. Judgment Day wins.
Priest.
I like – Priest.
In that
all
team.
And I think this is good for Priest because when Priest started out – I mean, remember, he made that debut at Royal Rumble. And I can't remember who he eliminated, but he made a good run in the Royal Rumble and was booked pretty high up. I mean, he won the U.S. belt pretty soon or pretty early on to his run. And then it was kind of like he kind of faltered. So now it's good that this is how you get those guys that are kind of fallen. You catch them in the safety net, which is a faction, a good faction.
And I think it's building up Dominic too, giving him some more
show his range,
confidence in the ring.
Yeah. And maybe, it's always good to try out early. You know, like John Cena. John Cena was a heel early on. And it's like, okay, he's good as a heel. It's like, this guy can really be a heel. And then it's like, oh, wait, the fans are starting to like him. Oh, he could be a great face. You know, maybe that's similar to Dominic. Maybe people get tired of booing him and they start loving Dominic. But
I don't know.
What did you guys think about OC versus Judgment Day?
I thought it was a solid match. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was good. And I was glad Judgment Day picked up the win. I think they still need to keep that momentum rolling, which they have. They've been doing good by them.
What are they trying to do with the OC here? Like, what's the OC's game plan? I don't know. Because then they added a, what's her name?
Mia Young. Something like that. I don't want to say it wrong, but something like that.
Keith Lee's girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wife.
Yeah. The one that Shelton Benjamin always makes fun of on Twitter.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting
them to. They're just trying to even the odds.
Yeah. I think they just, he brought the OC back just to form it. I think they'll probably still stay together after this rivalry's done. Because I am liking the factions. It does feel like they're just there right now. Because you know they're probably...
You know, it's like, yeah. Why don't you just take it out for a ride? This seems like I should be near the top of factions to go have them go up against the fucking Bloodline or some shit.
Something. I mean, they might after, who knows, like come like after Survivor Series time or something, because the OC and Judgment Day can't go on much longer, you know?
Yeah, this kind of seems like a filler for, you know, just to give Edge and...
And that would be... That would be
break. And then they were trying to rebuild AJ Styles and Finn Balor because obviously Bullet Club... And then I think that's why he called up Gallows and Anderson, and now it's with Mia Ying, Young,
also,
whatever.
Gallows and Anderson, I don't know why they ever released them, ever. Like, those two are incredible in the ring. And with AJ, they're just incredible chemistry. It just seems like they're sitting on a gold mine right now, but they're not selling it. Like, I want to see more OC.
A flash in the past, though.
Like, it's not going to – they're not going to keep going with it?
Like they're just, you know, throwing that name out there. It's that dead horse.
I could see them like after Survivor Series, like have them go up against the Bloodline eventually, like have like an AJ Roman thing. But after that, I don't know. Just because I would do it, just because in the 2 years that Roman's held the belt, the OC would be the only other faction they've ever really had to go against. There's no one because they don't have any factions.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody. It's always been. Well, yeah, they had Dominic and Ray, and then Edge came back to help. But like, that's all done now. I feel like OC is the only like face faction WWE has.
Now they got four. So now it's
you have New Day, but it's not even a faction.
Yeah, Big E's out.
Yeah.
Apparently he's not. It's not looking like he's going to come back anytime soon either.
Yeah.
Kind of had a slow recovery, but. I don't know. I love the OC. I love Judgment Day. I love what they're doing. I think, Chandler, you hit the nail right on the head when you said that Judgment Day needed this win. I think booking them up is good. I think this is just kind of like a filler rivalry for the Edge and Ray, you know, because that doesn't feel finished
yet. I think Edge and Beth are going to come back, and I think Ray is going to, like, stay away from that as long as he can, and I think it's going to culminate in him and Dom next year at Mania. But I don't know what else you really... Because, I mean, what happened? Like, Judgment Day won here, and then Finn beat Edge at Extreme Rules in an I Quit match. But before that, they lost to, like Ray and Edge, and then Ray and Dominic won because Edge came back. And then Edge and Ray won, and then Dominic turned. That was weird.
Yeah.
But so it was like...
Judgment Day's just been getting their asses whooped.
Yes, so it's like, until these last two pay-per-views, Judgment Day have won, but before that it was like 50-50 booking, so I kind of am just wanting them to keep racking up wins.
Do you think either of these teams go against the Bloodline?
You can't do Judgment Day, right?
I don't know. Do you want to see another Finn?
I think you do heel versus heel. I mean, they can,
I think it'd be more likely to be... like OC, just because like since this reign has started, AJ hasn't challenged Roman for the belt since Roman's held it for the last 2 years.
I think an AJ versus Roman, we have to see this, right? We have to see them fight.
They're two pay-per-view matches back whenever AJ debuted. They were both awesome.
Yeah. I'm saying right now in the Bloodline faction, you gotta have an AJ versus Roman. This is Roman's peak. I want to see Roman at his peak versus AJ. Back half of the career, kind of like a similar to Shawn Michaels. A
couple months ago, they had at the live event AJ versus Roman for the title.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I would love to see it again. It's been since like 2016. Well, I don't know if that was their last match, but for a title, yeah.
A long time ago, yeah.
It fits Bloodline's storyline, basically, too, which is every single time there's a match, the whole fucking Bloodline gets involved, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I liked it.
I enjoyed it. Speaking of five-star matches here, we got Omos versus Braun Strowman. That was next. Luke, you put decent match between these two big men. I think it was definitely above my expectations. They did put on a good show. Like, honestly, Lesnar versus Lashley was less entertaining than this.
Yeah.
I thought they did good. And Omos starting to move around a little bit in the ring.
He is.
He's starting to do some shit.
Hey, he looks like he's looking like a lot more comfortable. He seemed a lot more comfortable in this match.
You knew that it was going to go to the point where it's like, oh, you know, can he slam him? You know,
right.
the typical ending. Braun Strowman got the win. Now I'm kind of sitting here, and I'm wondering. I'm wondering what the fuck is next for Omos and what is next for Braun Strowman. Because Strowman, we know, can be a singles guy. Omos, I kind of feel like he's a little lost without AJ. He has
MVP. So.
Yeah, he has MVP.
He's got MVP, but MVP's not like a – that's like his talking.
Right, to like just not teaching him in the ring.
And, like, if he's not going to be – what is he just going to be like this what's next for him? What can you do with Omos?
Watch him pull some bullshit and pair Braun and Omos together.
Yeah.
Big Show and Kane type shit?
Just have MVP be the manager, even though Braun, that would not fit where he's going right now at all.
No.
Dude. They could do like a double power slam or power slam finisher where they do it at the same time. Hell yeah.
But if it was a different timing, yeah, but like right now where Braun just got the win and everything like that, Braun, they're just wanting him to like just bulldoze through everybody right now and build him up again.
Yeah. I see Braun versus Bray again.
I feel like they're kind of setting that up.
I'm just curious who the hell they're just going to start Bray off with. That's what I want to know.
He's fighting Uncle Rico or whatever the hell his name is.
That's like who's trying to get him to reveal who he truly is since he's come back. Uncle Rico.
That's what I always call him. I don't know. Uncle Ruffus or whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, my God.
Uncle Ruffles. But I don't know what they're going to do with – like Strowman I'm fine with. No matter what, Strowman, if he doesn't win a belt, like, he's fine. He can just keep rolling. He's still going to be popular. He's still going to be a top – he's like Big Show at this point where it's like whatever rivalry you throw him in, people are going to care about it. People are going to like it. You know, Strowman's he's a good worker, and he puts on a good show. He's scary.
He can move.
Yeah.
He's a big man.
He's got the credentials, you know. He puts up the big spots, you know. He can lift anybody, literally anybody.
And he already won the title.
Yes, he's got the former championship. He's going to have a Big Show type career where he wins like four titles, but they're all really kind of uneventful runs. Yeah. But Omos, like, what do we think about Omos? Do we think maybe down the road he gets some sort of run?
I don't
Omos
see.
Like a great Khali type?
I don't. Oh my God!
That's pushing.
I don't see him like moving out of like mid card. I just don't like Chase said. I don't know what they're gonna do. Like after this loss, like
I don't think Omos had anything going before this match was announced. I don't think he had anything going.
His whole thing was that he's this big guy that's destroying everybody, and then he lost.
He wasn't doing anything
before.
And then Braun's back, and they're like, okay, we'll do this. It's like, that's great, but, like, what's planned afterwards? Because I don't know.
Let me tell you, I guarantee you all the producers in WWE aren't sitting here being like, man, I can't wait for this guy to be another great Khali. Like, nobody's fucking rooting for that. That was the worst world heavyweight champion of all time. You know? Like, people don't want to see that again. I think Omos, I mean, he's got MVP, so maybe they can do something crazy with that. Maybe find a way to make it some sort of storyline out of it, but it just kind of feels
like
he might have like a Great Khali type run where it's like
you can maybe like
we haven't seen Great Khali in 3 weeks. Here he is, he's fighting fucking Finley.
What if
no
he goes
reason.
Up against Seth for the U.S. title?
Did you say, oh my, that's funny. That's exactly what I was gonna say. I was like, you could probably just have him go against Seth somehow.
Yeah, and
I don't
he wins
know.
It. I don't know. He wins it.
Something. It seems like they're, like, slowly transitioning Seth into a face, so I don't know. Like, because that's what I was going to say. I was going to say just somehow, like, intertwine him with Seth or something. I don't know.
They're doing that open challenge shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe Omos comes out. He's the guy that wins it. If you keep doing it, I don't know. We'll see. Next match, we got the Usos versus the Brawling Brutes. Definitely seem like the Usos got challenged a little bit here, which is a change of pace. I think the Usos, Luke, you said it, I think, when we did the Discord stream, which, by the way, if you follow the Baker channel and you hit us up, we'll let you in the Discord and you can watch pay-per-views for free. Sorry, I got to keep plugging that. But I think that the Usos, like, they're kind of getting on that level of immortality, I guess you could say, of like new. I think they're better than the New Day. I think they're more entertaining in the ring than the New Day. I think these two always put on a good show. Always, no matter who they go up against, the Usos are great. They just need to start ordering some Ubers, and I think they could be the greatest tag team of all time.
I like this match. This match is really good. It was definitely a challenge for the Usos, though. It wasn't like that, you know, they pushed the whole match the whole time. It was back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And good old Pete, baby. And the other dude, I forget his name. They were pushing.
We always forget the other dude's name.
Ridge Holland.
Yeah, I asked what his name is 30 times during the stream.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid tag match. I think they started that because like the Bloodline attacked Sheamus like 2 weeks prior and put him on the shelf.
Yeah.
So then the Brutes just went after the Usos or something.
And
so maybe
that
was
because of Sheamus' wedding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had a wedding.
Gotcha. Oh shit. Okay. That's another thing. That's another face faction right there. Sheamus comes back and he could challenge Roman for the belt.
It's been a while since we've seen Sheamus in like a main title picture, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like a legitimate. I think if Sheamus I want Sheamus, if he does like go up against Roman for the title, obviously he's not going to win it, but I at least want to see him get two or three licks at it, you know?
But like, that'd be like a good, good brawling match.
Oh, yeah. Him just beating the shit out of Roman? Hell yeah.
It would be a good like cat and mouse match.
I'm all for it.
But anything else? Yeah, I liked it. I like the match. I love the Usos.
The Usos win tonight. They will become the longest tag team champions.
Yeah, then they're facing New Day,
the record. The match is going on, so I'll keep it updated.
Oh, is it right now?
I'll keep it updated, yeah.
Let us know if history's made right on the pod.
Yep.
Who was it? Because if they win tonight, New Day's record's broken. Who did they beat? Was it Demolition that previously held the record?
Yeah, it was Demolition. They held it for over a year, I think. Which is crazy because
180 days or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it was a long fucking time. But it was like WrestleMania 4 or 5 era, right?
I have no idea.
I don't really know much about Demolition. I always got them confused with the Road Warriors growing up. I know that Crush got slammed on his head during a Last Man Standing match with Randy Macho.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that's it. That's all I know about Demolition. I'm pretty sure one of them became the Mountie, didn't they? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't think one of them was.
Is that not the Mountie?
I don't think it was one of the members of Demolition.
That's a fucking, who are those? That's the, I don't know, the Pierre twins or whatever the fuck they were called.
Oh my God.
The Quebecers, sorry.
Yeah.
I mixed them up. Yeah. I always get them and Demolition confused. I don't know why. They're not even closely look like each other. This is going off the shit show.
Yeah.
Next match. Bianca Belair versus Bayley, last woman standing match. I fucking love this match. I think this is the second best match on this card by far. This rivalry, I just want this rivalry to go on until WrestleMania. Just have these people fight every single week, John Cena, Randy Orton style. I'm all for it. They have great chemistry in the ring, great spots. We even talked about it. This match seemed like, I'm trying to think of an example. Maybe like Shawn and Undertaker's second WrestleMania match where it's kind of like, it's a little botchy, but it's botchy in the right way. Oh, here's a better one. CM Punk versus Cena at Money in the Bank. There's so many botches in that match, but the crowd and the spots make it 10 times better. Like, you can botch, but as long as you tell a good story and you put on a good show and the fans are involved, that's what I look at. And these two did exactly that. What do you guys think about the ending, though? Bayley trapped under the ladder, pushed up against the corner. All she has to do is screw it out the side.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know you push up and the ladder's going to get caught under the turnbuckle, but there's more than enough room for her to just shimmy out the side of the ladder there.
Yeah.
It was different, but it was... I would have rather just been a big spot and then her just not get up at that point.
She was already halfway out. It's not like she was just stuck in the middle, like, she was halfway out.
She was already, like,
it wasn't even that good of an ending.
No, I would have rather just been, like, a big ladder spot from, like, through a table or something at that point.
This was a 4-star match, and it dropped to a 3 just because of the ending, in my opinion.
It was a really good match. I mean, the golf cart part was kind of, just go a little faster.
The only reason I ended up liking that is because I was about to piss myself with how slow she was going.
And then she got her up top and ran her down the ring. But I mean,
it's like Austin Powers where he's sitting with the
fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
No! We were sitting there freaking out when they were on the roof of the golf cart because we thought it was going to cave in. Yeah, I'm glad they got off the top of it.
They definitely got one of those golf carts from Palmy because that shit was fucking slow.
Oh, can we talk about the freaking spot when she sends Bailey off the roof and she hit her back off the table?
Oh, yeah, that was tough.
That made me uncomfortable. I was just glad she was okay. I was like, holy shit. She just rolled off the top and hit her spine off the back of the table. Like, my God.
These two,
the only thing that I wish would have happened was Bailey win. It would have been like an evolution run.
Yeah, I
really
is the
all the titles.
I think the fact that Damage Control. Yeah, so, well, the fact that I wanted Bailey to win Damage Control throughout this match, it was a decently long match, and they never came down. Just as it was going on, I'm like, Bailey needs to win this. Like, Bianca's had a good run. She'll be fine. Like, I really wanted Bailey to walk out of the winner of this one.
I thought, and also, like, I can think off the top of my head, if you're going to do, like, that ladder spot in the corner, like, ways to where it's like, okay, she's not completely knocked out, but you win the last man standing match, so everybody looks strong, basically. Everybody in, because it's like, Bailey could be like, oh, that's bullshit. I was locked under the ladder, you know. There's a thousand different things that come to my mind. What if you tie a rope around her ankles and, you know, have her sitting outside, like, around the ring post? You know, she can't get up. She can't stand up for the 10
back
count.
End, yeah.
Or, you know, handcuff her foot to the bottom rope or some shit. There's a thousand different things you could have Damage Control come out and literally sit on her or hold her down. So, or wait, not Damage Control. Whoever the fuck is in a rival, have somebody come out, make a big spot, hold her down. Maybe Bianca just holds her down. I don't know. There's a bunch of different things. Have the golf cart run her over. Do something, for Christ's sake, besides have her sit in a ladder in the corner.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we done with this match?
We are gonna see this continue though, because Survivor Series. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think this needs to go in WrestleMania.
I think it's been a solid rivalry. With as much as like there's outsiders like Asuka and Alexa and then Damage Control and stuff. Like I was really surprised they didn't interfere in the match at all.
I know.
Like they didn't. They interfered in the ladder match. So I was just. I don't know. I was confused. I was surprised on that one.
They've carried, but, I'll tell you that right now, they've carried these last couple pay-per-views because they don't have a Charlotte, they don't have a Sasha, they don't have a Naomi.
They've done great.
And you compare
that's
to the,
three big.
Like, just the them one-on-one.
You have Rousey on SmackDown and Liv, and then the rest of the women kind of suck.
Yeah.
So.
Dewdrop.
Yeah.
I don't even know if she's there anymore.
I don't know what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah.
But, okay. We done with this match?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we are going to talk about the main event here in just a second. But first, we got to leave you guys with a little bit of a commercial break. I'm sorry. We have to do it. We need to get paid.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, we're back. We're here to talk about the future of WWE, Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns. What a fucking match. What a match. Luke, you wrote it. You summed it up best here in the doc. You said this match surprised a lot of people in the wrestling world, including myself. Logan Paul has put on three absolutely or spectacular matches. He's been incredible every single time he's in the ring. He's great on the mic. I don't even know where to start on this. I mean, I love how Logan got his licks in. They made Logan look good.
He looked strong.
And they highlighted everything he's incredible at. Like, I'm sorry, he looked better than Karrion Kross. He looked better than Austin Theory. He's looked better than most of these young stars that are supposed to be taking the reins. Like, this is, if I never thought I'd ever say this, but I would be fine with Logan Paul having a title run at some point. Maybe not being the guy that takes it off Roman Reigns, but after Roman Reigns drops it and it's fair game and they start giving the title around, please, for the love of God, give Logan Paul a fucking run.
He's a good heel.
What do you guys think about the match? Chandler, I want to talk to you first because I know Luke probably has 40 minutes to spare on this.
Oh, I was just, I mean, like, after his one-on-one match with The Miz, I was definitely interested because, you know, they had to do it. It was a draw, like him or not. Like, this is what they're going to do. And it's just the WWE. It's unpredictable as can be. So it's just like, are they seriously going to do this and put the belt on him so people were just watching to see? And I just wanted to see him, like, oh, you know, third match, he's the underdog. It was just to show how, like, good he was and how good he's gotten. And Roman put him over big time, did so many favors for him.
Beautiful buckshot lariat.
Oh, my God, it was beautiful. His frog splash is awesome. His, well, the one in the ring and through the table. And I don't know, just his timing to stuff, how he looked whenever he was down on the ground and, like, just the submissions getting hit by Roman, his selling. His attention to detail was great. I mean, like, it just sounds ridiculous, but it's just, like, I appreciate that stuff. My opinion doesn't matter, but I like whenever celebrities come in and just put the work in and take it so seriously. He looked great out there. He looked awesome.
Luke?
I mean, like you said, a lot of celebrities, they want to be in the business. They want to try it. They get their match. They don't take it serious. Literally every day is training. He's literally got WWE in a Matt's rings. He's training with Helms, Sean.
Yeah, and I NXT think guys. All the NXT
Finley,
trainers.
Too, or something like that.
Yeah,
and, like, he's taking it serious. He's doing, like, different training each and every day. That's what you get whenever you take it serious, I guess.
That table spot with the phone is fucking incredible, too. Genius idea, by the way. Yeah. I don't know who came up with that. It might have been Logan. It might have been Triple H, but that fit Logan's character perfectly, mm-hmm. too. It's like he's playing this – he's a social media influencer guy, which, I mean, that's actually who he is. But still, I mean, they have that fit his character, and he's recording it, and then they release the footage after the match, and it's like –
You see Roman?
Yeah, and you hear what he said. Like, it's fucking great. And also, on top of it, he sacrificed his fucking body. We saw CM Punk try a buckshot lariat, what, three times? And he fucking
broke
his ankle.
Yeah, he tripped he tripped every single time. And this guy's coming off, you know, being.
That was impressive. It was out of the bag.
Maylock's fucking bod, and he's out here hitting buckshot lariats.
Yeah.
I'd honestly be all right with that being, like, his finishing move over the one lucky punch. That buckshot looked awesome.
I don't know if he can keep doing that. Looked like it hurts. After they announced, spoiler, he tore his ACL, MCL, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
His meniscus.
It was on the table spot, wasn't it? I think that's
what it was.
They're saying that or the buckshot.
I was going to say,
if it was off the buckshot, then maybe not put so much oomph into it, because the landing after he flipped over looked rough, and then he, like, jumped from where he landed into the clothesline, like a flying clothesline almost.
Yeah. I thought they
he
said
gets
that
high, though. How high he gets on some of those?
Dude,
I think
you
they said the camera couldn't even catch him on one of the jumps.
It's like Evan Bourne type shit. Like,
yeah, it's like that and, like, Montez Ford type high.
Yeah.
It's freaking – did you remember that freaking still shot, the great picture they got of Roman winding up his fist when Logan's up in the air? It was so high.
It looks like Dragon Ball Z type.
It was ridiculous.
On top of it, great story getting, like – I mean, me and Luke –
Impulsive cast.
Yeah, big
impulsive cast out there.
They got Mike and George involved. I loved it. I've not freaked out at a match. Like, I was geeking out. Like, you guys heard me on the stream. I was like, holy shit. And I was a little intoxicated, which makes it even better. But I was like, holy shit, this is incredible. Like,
it was a great storyline.
But I have to be the guy that talks a little shit. I always am. I am going to talk a little shit. Roman Reigns, are we getting to the point that it's Triple H's Reign of Terror type of length to his title reign? Because now you're having the whole bloodline come out to beat Logan Paul. Like, that's where we're at now, Roman.
I see. And it also,
by the way, Logan outperformed Roman in this match. I don't care what anybody says. Roman did a good job working with him, but it was Logan's show.
Well, to be fair, though, that's probably how they had it written down that way to showcase everything Logan could do.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to get him, because Roman's supposed to take all that and still kick out because he's just the top of the mountain. Logan's this rookie. And by the way, they told that story perfect in the ring. It was like, what, like an almost 20-minute match? Very solid storytelling in-ring match.
Even all the build-up was good, too.
Yeah. It was like,
press conference was really well.
Like, watching that when we were watching that live, it was like one of my most favorite matches I've watched in the last couple of years. Like, I had fun watching this whole thing. It was just because you didn't know who was going to win or not. You wanted to see what Logan could do. You were going to see how close he was going to get. And he got pretty damn close numerous times to where you thought, are they actually going to give him the freaking belt? I was like, not scared, but I was just like, what are they going to do? They can't. I knew they weren't, but then you thought you knew.
Yep.
I don't know.
It had you on the edge of your feet.
Yeah, it was just solid. It was a good main event.
Did you guys hear anything I said?
I heard you cut out for a second, but I thought you just kind of stopped after.
Okay, good. My Wi-Fi went out for a second. Okay, keep going, Luke.
The only thing I think, if Jake Paul, he did come out, if Jake Paul does do a run or anything, he needs to work as much as Logan.
Yeah, he needs to put in his...
We talked about, that day we talked about, what about them being a heel
tag team? Yeah.
I think that'd be a good idea, but god damn, Jake looked fucking awful.
He wasn't good. Maybe he was just, 24-hour practice before, but...
He looked like Mike and George. Like, that's the same level. Like, it's just like LaMelo Ball, like the Ball family when they're on Raw.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like a celebrity. You look like a celebrity out there.
What I want to see is I feel like it's been so long since we've had a heel who just like talks shit and backs it up. Like, he is obviously very like athletically gifted. And just, like, awesome. I want him to stay that way. And as much as he wants to be a face, the people, besides in Saudi Arabia, like, they loved it. But, like, everywhere else, they just boo him and stuff. I want him to be a full-fledged heel and just talk all this shit and then just do what he did to Roman. Like, not have to cheat or anything like that. Just kick people's asses and then just have people hate him. I think he would thrive there.
That's what he thrives at best.
True.
I think he would just – because I know he wants to be a face, but it's just like, dude, you'd thrive so well as a heel.
That's going to come in time, I feel. Like, I feel like...
I think it will.
In ring-wise, I think he's damn near close to finished product. Like, if he gets any better from here, he's going to be, literally... I'm not even joking when I say, like, AJ Styles level of athleticism in the ring, If
he's good on the mic, too.
He is good on the mic. He just needs to figure out his character, like Chandler.
Yeah.
He needs to play that heel. Once he figures out, like, just because I want to be a face doesn't mean that I need to be a face. I can be a heel.
That takes time. That takes time.
Yeah, exactly. He'll learn that. And when it happens, maybe he'll turn on Jake.
I don't know.
Have an Owen versus Brett thing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, like, it's just maybe throw some more in there, get more like original with it and stuff. Because I mean, like, he had his punch, the frog splashes, the Shawn Michaels like flying clothesline thing up into the kip up. Like, he had the hip tosses, drop kicks, all the basic stuff, but everything he did, like, it looked good. Like, there wasn't really any botches from him. I mean, it's his third match, so even if there were, I wouldn't be surprised, but he looked like $1 million out there.
Yep.
It definitely made me very, very excited for the future. Okay, I'm going to lay it out here. Do we see Logan Paul ever holding the WWE title as of right now?
No.
I don't either. Unless he continues to be like after his contract's up, if he continues to be as serious about it and is around for long term, then yes.
We don't see it happening. I do. I'm the most optimistic. Yes. Think about it. Post Roman Reigns bloodline world, like, that title after Roman Reigns loses it, after he finally gives up both belts, that's two more belts that are going to be out there.
How long's the run? I think it's short then.
Obviously, yeah. I'm not talking about, like, he ain't going to hold it for a year. He might not even hold it 2 months. But
yeah, I'm thinking, like, up next to pay-per-view to pay-per-view, that long.
If he goes out, like, there's a lot of guys that came from, other endeavors and, you know, became almost full time with it, you know, like
I could see it happening due to the like how many like new followers it could bring in.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's bad. He, like, people are interested whenever he goes out and he wrestles. It makes WWE, like, I was talking to my girlfriend about it. She wanted to know if he was going to win or not. Like, she was watching a little bit of it. And she has no interest in WWE. She hates it. She
he's
hates that I'm doing this
it.
Podcast
he's,
right now.
He's seriously, he said this is his calling in multiple podcasts. He's had Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns on, like, recently on his podcast. And they were, he's serious with it.
Luke, did the Usos win too, by the way?
Usos did win, so they will be the newest reigning longest tag champs of all time.
That's crazy.
They did it. Okay. Anything else? Also, by the way, didn't Dave Meltzer, right?
Gave it a 4.5?
4.5 out of 5 stars. What the fuck?
It was a good match.
This is the same guy that didn't give WWE a 5 or a 4-star match for like 2 years. Like, it's very hard to get that high unless you're an indie guy, I feel like.
Oh, 100%.
And Roman and Logan Paul did it also. Kudos to Roman for doing everything he did with Logan in the ring. He made Logan look like a million bucks.
He did.
I'm honestly just like, I'm hoping they don't, like, I hope they choose the right guy to end Roman's reign. Well, that's the first thing. And then secondly, I'm kind of just like sitting back and enjoying it because honestly, I feel like after this, Roman's probably not going to hold the belt again. He doesn't need to.
Yeah.
He's had it for over 2 years now. I mean, I like, God forbid, but like he's been dealing with leukemia since he was young, you know, like who knows when it'll come back. This reign might be his last. He might have to like kind of go to way less dates.
Take a vacation.
And, like, more part time than he's doing now, you know, like I'm just kind of just enjoying it while we got it. Like this is a run to like be remembered. And we don't know how much longer we'll have it.
It's like best case scenario. It's I've said it a couple of times, but this is like best case scenario Triple H's run. Like this is if Triple H was putting out good products every time he was fighting with Evolution, but he wasn't. You know, Triple H, people look back on that and they hate that 1 year run because of all these people that missed out on the titles. But we've mentioned a lot of guys. We've AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Matt Riddle, you know, hopefully Randy Orton comes back. All these guys that could possibly, Braun Strowman, all these guys that could possibly have another WWE title run. But right now, it's like, who do you want to be champion? It's still, I feel like, Roman Reigns. But I feel like this is the crack in the Bloodline storyline. This is the crack. It's, hey, we had to have the whole Bloodline come out to beat Logan Paul. Like, okay, maybe it's getting, because even Triple H with Evolution was getting to that point. He was beating people clean, and then all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, he lost clean to Shelton Benjamin on Raw? Mm-hmm. Now he needs Evolution coming out every single match? Oh shit, now Evolution's falling apart, you know? Like, what's going on? You know, I think
maybe Sammy's the crack, or it's Jay.
Somebody's going to be, yeah.
It's honestly, if it wasn't... If it's not going to be Cody, I'd want Jay to take the belt from Roman for real. Like,
holy shit.
No, like, okay. Think about back in like 2020, whenever it all started with Jay coming back, and then he was the first challenger for Roman, and then just like how Roman beat the crap out of him, brought Jay into the fold.
Killed him, pretty much.
Yeah, like, I think it'd be so fitting. That'd be like the most, like, best long-term booking they've ever pulled off if they had Jay take the belt off him. You don't have to hold it a long time, just be the one to beat him. I would absolutely love that.
That'd be a hell of a WrestleMania moment, too.
Like, I would not mind at all if Jay took that belt off him and maybe not even hold it that long because he probably won't.
Also,
but
you don't need him to win clean. Have The Rock come out. Be like, yo, I was tired of Roman Reigns talking shit on everybody saying he's the best wrestler. So I helped out Jay to win the belt. And then you set up Roman versus – that way Roman loses the title before WrestleMania. And then if you want, you can have a different title match for WrestleMania.
The Rock comes out, Usos turn on him, on Roman.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
Solo.
Yeah, so. Because think about it. I mean, that's family. They're going to choose Rock over Roman, I feel like.
Yeah.
And then that way, too, you have Roman versus Rock, no belt involved, so that way we know. Like, because I feel like the only way that you can have Roman versus The Rock and have the belts be on the line is you got to have it to where if Rock wins, you just vacate the fucking titles and then do some mass tournament afterwards.
Something.
Which I'd be fine with that. But
I'm just hoping that I just hope Roman loses them before Mania, which I don't think will happen. Just because I really, if it's not going to be Rock, if for some reason Rock can't make it, then keep the titles on him. But if it's him and Rock, God, please take the belts off Roman. That match does not need the belts. That's so dumb. No. I hope to God that if they go him and Rock, the belts are off of him.
And if they do go him and Rock with the belts, there's no way Rock
that Roman's. Him. There's no reason for Rock to win that. Rock there's no reason for Rock to win in general, just for Roman to further cement his legacy. It only helps Roman.
What? Hey, what about this? What if both the Usos win both belts? one wins one, the other one wins the other?
They have all three?
I don't know.
They're tag and?
Yeah, fuck yes. I don't know. We're running out of ideas. I just think
that I don't know. That, I just like the topic of now. I just like the topic of conversation, just because like you never know. Well, I mean, you know who it's gonna be. It's just like after Drew. Now I'm just like watching. I'm like, who's it? Because apparently they have a good idea of who it's gonna be. Just because they have a lot of names floating around, but they have apparently from what I read, like they have a feeling of who it's gonna be. But I don't know about how soon.
I know who it's not gonna be. Great segue here. It's not going to be Austin Theory.
That is true.
Austin Theory during an open challenge for the U.S. title belt. An open challenge for the U.S. title belt. An open challenge for the U.S. title belt. Open challenge. He cashed in the Money in the Bank and lost.
Well, Bobby went out there first for the open challenge.
Well, yeah, after the match. But still, yeah. In an open challenge... when you could have been the guy that came out and fought him and not turned in the briefcase, Austin Theory loses the briefcase.
For its title, he's already won, too, on top of that.
And that's definitely the first time they've ever cashed in on a mid-card belt, right?
That's the first time.
It has to be.
I know there's times that a mid-card champion had the Money in the Bank, too, but what do we think about... what's next for Theory? What was the point of
it? I think the way they got the briefcase off him was very stupid, but I'm actually excited for his character now. I think that puts him in a good spot. I think they're going to do like a little change with him.
Mm-hmm.
This could even be a way they build him up for Cena and stuff if that's still on the table.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know. I'm excited.
I think he's at that level of US IC also.
I do,
I really
too.
Do. He's not no Orton. He's not no 21-year-old Orton.
No.
Which does make me excited, though, too, because I feel like back then we probably would have said the same thing about Orton, too. That's what makes me excited about all these guys, because you never know, because they're so young. What is he, like 25? Yeah. So it's like, because right now I agree. I think he's like, I don't see anything past mid-card for him at all.
And similar to Orton, when Orton won the title, everybody said it was too soon. Everybody said that it was too soon. And then what happened to Orton after that? Orton didn't win another title for 4 years, right?
Something like that, yeah.
2005 he won it, and then he didn't win it again until 2009, I'm pretty sure. But I think if they play this right, this could be this could work. This could work. If Theory comes out and just plays off the fact that everybody's making fun of him, you lost, just have this comeback story type shit, where it's like, hey, I cashed in on a mid-card title and lost it. But you know what? Triple H lost to Ultimate Warrior in 3 seconds at WrestleMania. People come back from it. It's not the end of the world, you know? It really ain't. And especially if he can play this angle, maybe turn him into a heel. Where it's hey, I got to prove myself. I got to start actually working my ass off, you know?
I think the first guy, if he does do that, is against KO. Because they had that promo where KO was like, you need to prove yourself. I think that'd be, if he beats KO the first time.
I think that this could lead to a big character change for him. I think they need to. I think they need to ditch the whole selfie crap and just after him hitting rock bottom from this. I think they need to have him come out swinging.
This also kind of felt like, hey, this is the last thing we kind of needed to fix from the Vince McMahon era. Because I don't think Triple H would have gave Theory the Money in the Bank.
I don't think so either.
And I don't think Vince had any fucking idea what to do with Theory after he gave him the money. This is similar to Otis. It's like, you give Otis the Money in the Bank, what the fuck are you going to do? You give Baron Corbin the Money in the Bank, what the fuck are you going to do? You can't give the Money in the Bank to these guys that you don't know what the next plan is. I think this is perfect example of next guy that needs to win the Money in the Bank. You got to do some long-term storytelling like Edge Cena. You can't just half-ass this shit where you're like, hey, give it to Otis and let's see if something naturally happens. It's like, no, that doesn't work. I think this was the last calk over the Vince McMahon era. What else do we got? We talked about earlier, WWE finally retired the shitty 24/7 belt. Who's your guys' favorite 24/7 champion of all time?
Oh, R-Truth for sure.
R-Truth? Was it 50-something time? It's 52,
57,
right?
I think Luke said.
Or is it 57?
It's something up there in 50s.
It was just, I don't know. That dude's just like, I wish they would like drop. Like, he's so, he cracks me up every time I see him. But God, I wish like years ago they would have made him serious and gave him like put him really high up on mid-card or something. Because that guy can work. I've always loved watching him.
Truth,
and he's what, like 50?
Yeah. He's an NWA champion. He's TNA world champion.
Like, he's like just such a good worker. And like, he just, I don't know. He was like, I don't know. I wouldn't say he's undervalued. I just wish they would have made him in a more serious role at some point in his career. They did it with Cena, but they severely dropped the ball with that.
Yeah.
Whenever they turned him heel. But
yeah, R-Truth.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's the only reason. He's the only guy I feel like you can think of for that title, anyways.
I'm gonna go with a little zag here. I mean, I always go with zags. I'm going with the oldest champion of all time. You know who that was? Good old Pat Patterson.
Oh, did he win it?
Yeah,
dude, I can't remember everybody who's had that.
You got a quick roll up. Good old Pat.
I think Hornswoggle.
Oh, did he win it?
I think he did. So. I think Molly Holly or whatever her name is. I think she won it. Many refs won it.
The best champ definitely was Nikki Cross because she threw it in the fucking trash.
That's true.
That's the best.
I thought Chase was gonna say Akira Tozawa.
Yeah. I don't even remember him. Is he still wrestling?
I haven't seen him since they had him in the 24/7 picture, which was months and months ago.
And finally, this is a perfect way to end the pod, too. John Cena is, I mean, the rumor mill is going nuts. It's basically almost confirmed that he's going to be wrestling at the next WrestleMania. It's also rumored that he wants this to be his last match. So, who do you guys want to see John Cena go up against in his last match if he were to have his last match? I know what Luke's going to say.
I'm just trying to think of, like, past guys who were, like, fresh and, like, green at the time, but, like, now have had many years to, like, face again. And then I'm also thinking of, like, newer guys, too, so I don't know.
He's got to – and if – you know he's got to lose his last – everybody loses their last match. I feel like that's just a common thing where it's like, hey, I don't want people riding off in the sunset. I want them putting over somebody else. I would say Theory, honestly, because I think it would do a lot for Theory's career. Especially if they put on, like, a good match. I think him in Theory would be good.
It would have to – I don't know what it is, man. Like, I want to buy into it just because I think he has potential. Maybe I just haven't watched him in depth enough just because, like, every time I see him wrestle, I'm just bored.
Yeah. Theory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, like – because I just feel like him and – Cena's at least exciting, you know? Like, Theory, I just don't think that I'd be invested in that matchup. Luke, like, I feel like that's where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, they had shadows of it, obviously, but at the time, 25 years of Cena or whatever. But I'm going to go to, like, an Undertaker, Shawn, Cena, and Edge.
Yeah.
That would be
final,
cool.
Final strike.
But then what are you going to do with the whole Judgment Day angle? Are you just done with it? You're not going to do it for Mania?
I mean, got 4 or 5 months till WrestleMania.
You got a lot of time. I think Judgment Day and Edge will be done before Mania.
You do? I guess they might extend Dominic and Ray.
Well, depend. Yeah, I could see Dominic and Ray being a separate thing.
I just can't think of anybody other than.
But I know they were like saying like Walter.
Walter versus
the IC title. Walter versus Cena. Cena wins. IC title comes a Grand Slam champ.
Oh, he's never won the IC.
Yeah, he's never won the IC belt either. I think that'd be a fun one. I mean, like Gunther, I love him in the ring.
If he's
and like
back
just him being
be
a bigger
like,
guy than Cena.
If he's fighting more than one match, I want him to go up against Roman. I don't give a fuck about The Rock. If
Johnson's
coming
back,
I don't
I had
care.
That
Bring
SummerSlam last year.
I want a WrestleMania match. Have these motherfuckers go out. John Cena, I want to see him in an attitude adjustment on every single Bloodline member and then beat Roman for the belt. That's a perfect way for Roman to lose it. He loses.
He would, he'd beat Rick, though.
Yeah, he would beat
he'd
Rick.
He'd beat Rick.
I don't. That's the perfect way to do it. He takes out the whole Bloodline. John Cena does what he always does, which is persevere. He never gave up, even though he's gotten his ass kicked the last 40 times he's come back. It's like, okay, John Cena did it. That would be the storybook ending, too. It's like WrestleMania, John Cena breaks Flair's record, and then he drops the title a month later.
So you'd rather see him beat Rick's record than being a Grand Slam champ?
Yes. Who gives a shit about the Grand Slam stuff? Don't matter. 17-time champion, you don't need the IC belt at that point. You don't need some stupid little IC run. Especially if that's his last run with the company. I don't want him in the IC picture. I want him either fighting.
But that could
Edge.
Be a way for him to continue to like build the belt
if
up.
His last match is going to be, I'd like to see Edge and then just Edge end it.
Because I mean, like, because last
off.
Matches don't always have to be the biggest one ever. Like, look at Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people didn't want that. People wanted Kurt versus Cena. Like, you don't want, because guess what happens if you have a last match and people don't like it and you're kind of like, eh. You get Ric Flair shit where they come back 40 times. You know, like, last match. Now it's my last match. Now it's my last match. It's like, no, have a last match where it's, like, perfect, you know? I mean, Flair's was perfect.
Well, that's the thing is, like, odds are I don't think they're probably going to give Cena exactly the opponent he probably wants to. Well, I don't know. He has a better standing with the company than Kurt did whenever he came back, so maybe they just didn't care as much to give Kurt the final send-off he wanted.
Yeah. I think, and Kurt was also at a point where it was like, Kurt.
And also, Triple H is in charge, so.
Yeah. Kurt hit that wall a lot quicker than, like, Cena can still wrestle. Kurt, like, remember he came back and he was kind of, like, hinting at, hey, I can wrestle full time. And then for, like, a couple months, it was like, he came back with the shield and everything. It's like, oh, Kurt looks good. You know, Kurt's looking fine. And then all of a sudden, it's like, holy shit.
Then you get
shit.
In the ring.
Yeah, and Slow. It's like, damn, Kurt's bad. And it's like, the only way you can throw Kurt out there is in tag matches. It's like, I don't want to, you know, Cena's not at that point. Cena's not 50 years old. You know, if Batista fought his last match in, like, 3 years from now, when he's, like, 58, we would have had a similar thing. Or, like, Undertaker. Undertaker's last couple matches, it's like, God damn, Taker just quit. You know? Cena's young enough to where he can end it, and he can end it on top. I want to see him do it. I mean, I've been the biggest Cena critic my whole life, but if there's any more John Cena story than him taking out the whole Bloodline, and, I mean, also, you could play into the fact that, you know, have a couple months before the Usos are starting to get jealous of Roman and they're tired of his shit. And they both super kick him into a fucking attitude adjustment and that ends the whole bunch. Like, you could do a whole bunch of things to where Cena's not just destroying the whole faction. But yeah. I think if he's going to come back for more than one match, I want him in that. But if not, I think, Luke, you kind of got the right idea with him versus Edge. That's a pretty good send-off. You have to make a no DQ, though, right?
Something, I don't know.
They're not known for putting on technical sound matches. All their matches
well, no,
are cool
but
because
just,
they
I, I'm, the just I'm just afraid for Edge at that point if you're going to do, like, matches with stipulations. You're going to have Cena F you him through two tables off the top of the ladder again.
Hell yeah.
Cena Edge, Cena Orton.
Ooh, Orton. That's a good. Oh man.
Cena and Orton, I think I'd want more because you've never, well, no, him and Edge and Big Show at Mania 25, but you've never had Orton and Cena at Mania. Probably every other pay-per-view under the sun, but they've never gone one-on-one at Mania before, and they've always put on great matches.
That Cena's, I think, man, it's tough to say, but I'd
I think
say
they had that I Quit match that was really good at, like, SummerSlam or something.
They
did, like,
for, like, a
that,
year.
Submission matches, Hell in a Cell, ladder matches, like, TLC.
They were fighting every night on Monday Night Raw. Like, literally, it was like Cena versus Orton tonight. Cena versus Orton. Remember that?
Cena and
like,
Orton versus the whole locker room.
The whole roster.
Yeah, Cena and Orton
and
versus
they won.
This.
Yeah. They buried the whole roster. Yeah, like, come on. Give me. Like,
it's really hard to say out of those two who I'd put as, like, his top rival, for real.
I think it's Orton, just because longevity-wise, and after.
Like, how much longer the rivalry went on.
Yeah, because Edge's, I always feel like the Edge rivalry went on a long time, but it really didn't. Like
it didn't go on that long. I'd give it like a total
edge.
Year, maybe.
It did edge.
Make Edge. It put him on the map. And then also their rivalry, I felt like, just got personal a lot quicker than him and Orton's did.
Yeah.
Well, got personal with that RVD at ECW.
Oh, I love it. I mean, you can't throw it. That was a one-time match.
And then you throw in John Cena's father.
Yeah.
Well, Orton did it, too. He didn't slap him. He punted him right in the head.
He did.
Yeah, keeps his fucking head off. Hell yeah. Yep. I think if Orton – but the problem with Orton is we don't know when he's coming back from that shoulder thing. That shoulder thing might be career-ending. We don't know.
Like I said, we got, what, 6 months? 5 months?
We got a lot of time.
WrestleMania, so.
Yeah. All
right. We also had a lot of time on this podcast, so I'm done with it. Okay. you guys know how to end it. You ready?
Yes, sir.
PWO. PWO.
You're behind in our head.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.